Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Support for the Adam Carolla Show comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. With rising interest rates, there's a lot of unpredictability, a lot of anxiety out there. Our friends at Quicken Loans are doing something about that. The power buying process. They'll verify your income, assets, credit in under 24 hours and give you a verified approval. Then you have the strength of cash buyer, which is important when you're out there in the real world. Once verified, you qualify for the all-new exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock in your rate up to 90 days while you shop. If rates go up, your rate stays the same. But if rates go down, your rate drops. You can't lose, man. Either way, you're going to win. Get started today. Go to rocketmortgage.com/Adam. That's rocketmortgage.com/Adam. Dawson.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLS, consumeraccess.org, number 3030. From Corolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, betonline.ag's Dave Mason. With Gina Grad on news and Bald Brian on sound effects, plus listener Halloween stories. And now, out of respect, just for today, he won't rant about Dodger dogs. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing. We love when you share. Good day, Gina Grad.
Good day to you.
Handball, Brian. Shall I pop in a breath mint before I give you a blowjob?
I mean,
mighty kind of you to ask.
Yeah, it's up to you.
I have a riddle for you guys.
Oh, I love riddles.
Okay. I'd be curious where you come down, and I will include Dawson Maxipata. I got a vote from, everyone can vote on it. I'll tell you that in a second. So we went out of town last weekend to Stand Up Live. Thank you guys for coming out. Oh. It's good shows. Went up there with Adam Ray and did our basic cable commentary. Had a lot of fun. Flew out of Burbank on a Saturday and flew in on early Sunday morning. Had a couple things. This is where the riddle starts to kick in. First, the first riddle. Sad for Maxipata. First riddle was, last time we were out of town, or last time, I've been going out and doing something every Saturday for like the last three or four Saturdays. And Mike August had left his prescription sunglasses in a case inside my car. He was driving my car back from wherever we were. And he then said to me, my sunglasses are in your car. Can you return them to me? No rush. But when I see you next, can you get them to me? I have systems, people. I then immediately remove the sunglasses from the door of my car, and I place them in the middle of this table in our entry area here.
A.K.A. Adam's table.
Adam's table with a grouping of various magazines and sweat jackets and swag and things of that that are mine that I'm going to need to sort through.
Business. All your business.
Business.
Mini bottles of liquor for the airplane.
Right.
You know, things
that are important.
That's right.
Yeah.
Maxi bottles of liquor for the ground.
Maxi.
Well, it's the opposite of mini.
That's true.
So I then have that there. Mm-hmm. And I look at it. I pick it up a few times. I sort of have this notion about what are we going to do with these? But I also know Mike August is going to meet us up here on Saturday. And we shall all be wheels up about 2:30 on the way to Burbank Airport. So I just let the sleeping shades lie, and I leave them on this table. Now, there's always a little curveball. Mm. At some point, I do collect the magazines and the spare this and the that, and I put them all in a sort of grocery satchel, and I walk them over to the other place.
For your decoupaging?
Yes, to spread them out on the table to sort through some things. That adds a little twist. And then at some point, now I don't know if I have the glasses. I'm not sure what the status is. And then at some point, it's me, Mike, and Max Zapata, and we're on a Southwest flight, and Mike says, "Where are my glasses?" And I say, "They should be on the table in the front of the studio. That's where I had them all week." And he says, "They're not there." Mm. Max Zapata, is this an accurate rendition of this story?
Yes, sir.
So I say, "Not there. That's where I had them all week. And no one else is monkeying with your glasses or mostly anything on that table." And he says, "I searched. They're not there." Then I do what I do. I internalize. I think to myself, huh, I must have packed them up into that little satchel bag of things earmarked for the other shop that with my name on it. Yeah. And maybe I brought them over to the other shop and I left them on the table. But on the other hand, I don't remember seeing them on the table. And Mike walked into the shop and he didn't see them on the table. So now it's vexing. And I go, "Really, you searched that whole table?" And the answer is yes, and it is not there.
Can I give you my first, what I think is the most logical answer? Mm-hmm. He didn't see glasses because he was looking for glasses, and he ignored or didn't notice the glasses case.
Oh, that would be so sad.
But wouldn't that be on brand?
Yeah. For Mike, but Mike knows they were in his case, and it was a familiar blue case.
Okay.
But not bad. And this isn't even my puzzler. My puzzler's coming after this insane
preemptive
discussion.
All right.
So then, I don't know, Max Pata, maybe it came up two or three times. Where are the glasses?
Sure.
How are we going to find the glasses?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the glasses?
Yep.
Me the whole time? I just put them on the table.
There
they were. And now they are gone. But when we get back to the shop, I'll look on the main table because I may have mule them over to the other shop.
Yeah, it's pretty known here around under this roof that table is Adam's stuff, and you know the things you need for traveling or for whatever. It's often car parts and whatever, you know, accessories.
That table's never touched.
Yeah,
and can we eliminate it looking like a chew toy for a giant black Labrador?
Oh. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Hmm. Well, I found something sort of endearing with Phil the other day, which is one of my flip-flops, and he's got range because according to Sonny, he went top shelf and got his scrambled eggs the other day, which is he went, my kitchen has a 36-inch high countertop, and then it's got like a 44, 42-inch high bar. Stuff on the bar is normally safe, but when Phil gets up, he's 6 foot long.
When he wants it.
And he went up and got some scrambled eggs.
He believes in
himself. He can extend.
Yeah.
I found something very endearing the other day, which is, so I will put my stuff like up on a shelf, but if Phil's really got it in his head, he'll go get it. I found something, I don't know why I found it sweet, but I have a flip-flop, and I found one flip-flop, and I found it in Phil's cage. With no bite marks.
Oh,
it's like his baby. Just wanted to hear you.
I just wanted to sniff my feet or something. Like I don't know why. It made me like the mud a little more.
The foot must have a real essence of the person because Charlie used to do it. He would bring out our slippers.
Right.
He just wanted to like be around them when we were outside the house. He just wanted like the slipper with him.
I think it all, you know, shit rolls downhill.
Yeah,
and there's your feet.
Yep.
So now I'm confused because we look on the table when we get back and there's no glasses. And now I have no idea what's going on. I have no answers for Mike, although I do feel somewhat responsible because I was the one who was told, "Hey, I got these glasses." Mm-hmm. I'm the one who took them out of my car and put them on the table. And in a world where no one else has any business with your glasses, I can't figure out what's going on. But Max Patty, you can fill us in now.
Okay, so while all of this is going on, Matt Fondelier comes to me on Friday morning saying, "Hey, Mike August called. He wants his glasses." Matt has the glasses in his hand, and he hands them to me saying, "You need to give these to August when you guys fly out to Phoenix the next day." And I say, "Sure." So I grab it, and I put it on the coffee table with all the stuff I plan on bringing to Phoenix, all the gear for the basic cable commentary, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the big merch bag that we have where we fill it with books and shirts and everything.
And glasses.
and now glasses. Well, so I put everything that we're bringing to Phoenix in that bag. Not
big merch case.
In the big merch case. And in one fell swoop, also with the glasses are in there as well. And this is where I underestimated myself.
I just think you overestimate yourself.
I'm driving in. I'm driving into work, and I got to grab the merch bag and all the stuff and bring it over to the other shop. We're all going to meet. And August calls me and goes, "You have my glasses, right?" And in my head, I put them in my backpack. So I'm thinking, "Yeah, I got them. No worries." And I search my backpack, and I can't find them. And I'm like, so I do another round around the shop. Like, did I forget to grab these? And then so I don't know where they are. So I meet up with August. Say, August, I cannot find them. The warehouse has just recently been cleaned on Friday as well. So maybe somebody put the glasses somewhere and I didn't realize. I'm calling people, wondering, seeing if anybody would answer, and no response. And then Adam says, "Oh, I think I grabbed them." So I deleted them from my memory, thinking, "All right, well, like I guess Adam got them." And turns out they were in the merch bag. I did bring them to Phoenix. And back.
Mike made the whole trip with his glasses. Unbeknownst his to back. Him, he had his glasses.
Yeah, so they were in the merch bag the entire time.
Wow.
All right. Now, good stuff. Here's the thing, everyone. You got to have a system because you're busy and you're not that good.
Yeah.
You think you can set your commuter mug on the bumper of your truck. You cannot.
No. Or your baby. Can't.
Or your baby.
Don't do it.
Right.
Why would you set a commuter mug on your baby?
That's a good point.
Do not. Do it, people. You have to have a system. And the system, here's what this system does. It does two things. It enables you to check things off and never have to commit any hard drive space in your brain to it because it's a system. And it stops you from a whole bunch of extra calorie burning when you're calling the cleaning crew, wanting to know if they found this. And then the multi discussions. Fully, if you work at a Keebler factory, there is going to be an acceptable amount of pecan sandy breakage cookies that's acceptable for the factory. Like when it's going down the belt,
right.
X amount are just going to be broken.
Delicious
and going to have to be picked out and thrown back into the grist for the mill pile or something and reconstituted or fed to the crows or whatever it is. But I feel like I'm at about 40% of discussions I should never have to have again or figured out a way to get around it or made some – I worked on something to not have to deal with this and it's back and we're into it. I mean, Mike – and also it does weigh you down because I'm sitting there next to Mike going, "This wasn't on the table?" And he's going, "No, you searched the table because it's sitting on the table the whole week."
For a fact,
and he's
at one point, it was on the table.
It was there multiple times. Like, it's not there now. Mm. And I'm like, "Huh." And I'm spending "huh" time. Like, I should have been thinking of jokes. But I'm sitting there going, "What did I do with those glasses?" I'm trying to figure out, "Oh, I must have brought them over to the other thing. They must be on the other table." Like, all this.
Right.
How much
of
your life? Like, I would have the world's worst Keebler factory. All right.
Mint Milano's everywhere.
Well, this shop and you and the people here are the reason why it is a normal thing now for me to put my car keys in the refrigerator.
That is Dr. Drew's idea. All right. I have my question. I have my riddle. So how did you guys find it again? You guys came back here.
We came back here. We didn't find it.
I love that fact. It was on you the whole time.
And then it was when I saw the merch bag, I was like, "Oh, I wonder. Did I?" And then I looked in the small pouch in the merch bag, and there they were. You know, I could have taken them back in here, hid them, and said I found them here. But
that's right.
But yeah,
the riddle is why did you do that?
You're a hero. All right. I want to thank Quicken Loans for this half of the show. RocketMortgage.com/Adam. ButcherBox. Go to ButcherBox.com. Enter Adam. BetOnline.ag. Enter code podcast1. I'll tell you about the riddle. Now the riddle. And as we speak, Mark Garagus's crack team is trying to shed some light on this. So I got Garagus involved.
Oh, my God.
The glasses?
No.
Okay.
The riddle.
Oh, okay.
The riddle that's coming.
Okay.
Now, we're bad, by the way. So we had this next thing, which is we pulled up into Burbank. I was driving. We valeted. I got out of the car, and I'm very... I have rituals, which is, like, I'll give you guys, for instance, my room key. Oh, in this case, Max Pata's room key, because my key card didn't work, and he just handed me his. Thank you.
That's nice.
My room key is always in my rear left pocket of my jeans. Always. When I go out, any show, anytime I'm on stage, any city I'm in, if you want to know where my key is, I'm sitting on it. It's my left buttocks. It's just always there. And when I come back to the room, because it's like you're traveling, it's you're chaos. Drinking on the plane, it's a time change, whatever. You hate that feeling of like feeling around and, oh, did I put it in my backpack? Mm-hmm. And the backpack has too many pockets. So
I have the same thing with when we go to movies and have like the parking ticket.
Yes.
It always goes in the breast pocket.
Right.
Otherwise, you can't reach in while you're sitting on the seatbelt.
And you're sitting in fully reclined, like an astronaut in there now. Could have fallen out of your pocket. Then you find yourself searching around a sticky floor. So I kind of do the same thing with the valet ticket stub. I like come out and I go, I'm going to put it. But this particular time, I got out of the car and Mike August said, give me that. And I said, what do you want it for? And he's like, I'll take care of it. I'll come get it. Mike's very good at that stuff. So he took the car, the valet, and we went to the airport. And when we were coming back, I think Chris and Max Paddock got off the plane a little ahead of me, Southwest and all. And I'm like walking through Burbank. We left, you know, meet in the lobby at 7 a.m. in Phoenix, stay up all night. You were out. Who were you out partying with?
Oh, jeez. There was a huge comedy festival, so a bunch of comedians were there. With Ian Baggy's been on the show a bunch. Al Madrigal, Theo Vaughn was there. Callen, Brendan Schaub, Steve Byrne was singing.
Adam Ray.
Adam Ray, of course, he was on with us at Basic Cable Commentary.
So Max and Pat out drinking with the boys.
Yes,
everyone got home pretty late.
Ian Bag.
And. Now we're walking through, I'm walking through the airport, and I see the Pete's Coffee, and I think, I deserve a coffee. We've left Phoenix at 7:30 in the morning, and I haven't had any coffee. So I stop at the Pete's, and then I think to myself, wait a minute, where's Mike and Chris? And I think, oh, perfect timing. Mike's got the stub. He's picking up the car and valet. Mm-hmm. I'm going to grab my latte, and I'll just turn the corner. The car will be waiting there.
Perfect timing.
With Mike. Except for I get the call from Mike saying, I lost a stub,
oh,
which I thought was interesting. So, and we not got to the riddle yet. So now as I walk out, Max Pata, it's light. It's a very slow day. Sunday morning at the Burbank Airport.
I woke up in Phoenix this morning.
I did wake up in Phoenix that morning. You're goddamn right, Sonny. And we walk out, and there's just two cars, like, in line at the drop-off, parked very close to one end. First car and second car. Okay. That means the first car pulled up, and then the second car pulled up. I don't know how long after the first car pulled up, but if it's right behind it, it was within a few minutes, because there'd probably be another car stacked up in there. And as we pass by, I take a look at the cars. Now, Max Patty, you made it past the car. Mike made it past the car. You guys didn't notice anything, I do not believe. The cars were there.
Yeah.
But I got my head on a swivel.
That's right.
And I study everything. And I was looking at these two SUVs, and I took a look, and they both had vanity plates. And they both had custom vanity plates. Now, the first one says what, Gina, if you can read it?
It says Hawkin' Me.
Hawkin' Me. Hawkin' Me.
Hawkin' Me.
And I go, it's interesting. I know something.
The second one's Me and Hawk. I'm going to lose my mind.
The next one, I'll blow it up a little bit so you can read it.
Oh. Hockey Kings, I would imagine. HKYKNGS.
And look at the frame. It says Kings. Obviously a Kings fan.
Right. So I stare at these two things and I go, I wonder if these things are the two parked right stacked together at the airport. I go, do they? Now, at this point, I'm not even reading it. I just see this hawk and this hawk and this thing. And I'm like, well, these people know each other. And then I make a huge fatal error. 3 times a year, I attempt to talk to human beings in Los Angeles. You know, like ask for directions. Yeah. Like, you know the shit.
Times, fool.
You know the shit people used to do back in a simpler time when you could go ask old man Drucker on the corner, like, hey, could I have some directions or whatever?
How do I get to the interstate?
L.A. doesn't work that way. And the reason L.A. doesn't work that way is because everyone who works, the people who are sort of doing the jobs, working. Now, I'm not talking about in an air-conditioned office building. I mean accessible to you.
Right.
You could go downtown, go to the 35th floor of some financial advisor's building and probably get some answers from somebody inside. But outside...
laboring.
We don't have anybody who really speaks English who works outside. But I still have these... I hold out hope.
Okay.
I see one woman get out of the car. One car is completely empty. The other is one middle-aged woman gets out of the car and just scurries toward the Alaskan Airlines gate. And I start to like, am I going to run her down and find out if she has some relationship to this car in front of her? What's going on?
Is it possible that H-A-W-K is like license plate short for hockey?
Well, there's a lot on the table here. I don't know. But I need to know. Now, I'm sleep deprived, and Mike August is waiting for me to show up with my ID to go inside to get my car out of Hawk, pardon the pun, because he's lost the ticket, and they need me and my ID to come get it. But I still carve out some time. I double back, and now I know what's going to happen, but it's just me and the 55-year-old valet guy.
I don't know.
I'm trying to figure out how to word this. So I go to him. Hey.
Hey, good sir.
These two cars, do they come in at the same time? Are they same family? And he goes, this car is different.
Oh.
And he points at one car and then he points at the other car. And I go,
we're back to the beginning.
Yeah, I go, I knew. But it's my fault, right? It's my fault
for trying to attempt
to extract any kind of information from any human being who works in Los Angeles.
You knew better.
I knew, but there was nobody who could provide an answer for me. Mike and Max Zapata had sailed past these two vehicles with glee and a skip in their step.
Look, I was just wondering where the car was. I was told that the car would be ready by the time I had to wait at the baggage claim and get the merch bag with August's sunglasses. So I'm waiting there, and then August said he was getting the car. So I'm just wondering where the car is because that was the plan. So
a likely answer.
So of course I missed those cars.
All right, and what am I doing? Just being carried by some of Cleopatra's shoulder soldiers and eating grapes,
being fanned by palm frond.
So they're in there checking the tickets, and Adam just looks at me and goes, did you notice those cars? I'm like, oh, shit. No.
So I said, go back and take pictures of those cars.
Yeah.
So then I had the second part with the valet guy where I went, yeah, but the license plates are, they're like almost the same. And he goes, this one is different.
Oh, God.
I go, okay, now I'm done. I tried. God, I tried to have a fucking conversation with a human being. I just missed a simpler time when Murph of Union 76 or a guy named Gus was just standing there going, oh, you're talking about the Johnson and the Miller family?
Top you off?
Let me put on some coffee. I'll tell you all about it.
Soccer mom number one, soccer mom number two. They're not related, but they live on the same cul-de-sac.
I can see how you'd make that mistake.
The kids are attending a hockey tournament. It's in, I think it's Portland, so they did take the same flight. Yeah, but no, there's none. There is
no
gleaning of information. So then I brought Mark Garagus in here this morning, and I said, what's up? He decided that the families weren't connected. Mm. Oh, wait a minute. I Mike decided they weren't connected.
Was it what? Based on what? Because that's a...
Oh, well, Mike?
No.
Mike's was retarded logic. Which is
based on, Brian.
Now this is consuming our ride back to the shop. I want answers.
It spilled over in today's show.
I said, Mike, are these two related or are they not related? You remember his answer, Max Zapata?
I just remember him saying they weren't. Like, they don't know each other.
They weren't related because a family wouldn't be apt to get two vanity plates.
Mm. Oh, which I disagree.
Well, I know. It's Mike August logic.
Yeah, if one begets multiple, like it would be zero or multiple. It wouldn't be one. You know what I mean?
That's the way I thought about it. I talked to Mark Garagos. Mark Garagos, I never knew this about him, but had a family full of vanity plates. I think I believe our own porcelain punisher, Matt Fondelier's dad's got the same same plate. Yeah, the mom had Matt and back the kids' names. File that under. My parents could live 10,000 lives, and they wouldn't get one of them. They'd be angry if one of their kids' random initials was on the plate. Like
they'd be like, accidentally,
it's just issued from the DMV. A-C. Get it off,
A-L-C.
Get it off, or give me some gaffer's tape, stat. No, but you understand, just because you're. It could randomly happen. The alphabet's only so big.
They got a personalized license plate that's like G426889Z. Just like a random one.
Right.
To make sure they don't have anyone in there they like.
Right. One is Underdog. That's Matt's dad, who's a hero, who's a lawyer, who fights for the underdog. And then there's that. And then Garagos explains to me that he comes from a long lineage of custom plates as well.
Flashy.
Christie's family does too.
Right. So
she's
now.
She's the one who bucked the trend.
I'm now saying it is more of a familial
Absolutely.
Thing.
Based on observations and personal experience, yes.
All right. So now there is a little bit of a connection there. Garagos, did we find Garagos' stuff?
He hasn't sent them in, but I'm listening. He rattled them off of memory on Reasonable Doubt, which will air this Saturday. I'm listening to him right now.
Some of it was like Armenian stuff, but his dad had like 12 in the box or something because his dad was an attorney.
Oh, yeah.
Or
too many men in the field.
That's a tough one to
super. Yeah, yeah.
12 in the box.
Something like his dad had like attorney stuff. Yeah, his mom had like Armenian stuff. Like
wow. They committed
habeas corpus.
They were into it, and they also had
ex post facto.
They had like the license plate frames that said like the reason I'm driving this Honda is because of the money went to the kids' college. You know, my other
so droll.
Car's a horse or like all that stuff. All right, let me.
The reason I'm driving.
I would like everyone to weigh in. Are these? Don't answer, Dawson. I need your course of logic on this one as well. Do these two cars know each other? Let me tell you first. Or is this completely random? Tell you about Butcher Box. Delivers healthy, 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage breed pork directly to your door on a monthly basis. All products are humanely raised, never given antibiotics or hormones. Taste is unbelievable. Huge difference in flavor between animals raised on a pasture and those fed grain. In concentrated feedlots. Special offer until December 1st. Oh, let's get going now. New subscribers get $20 off and free bacon for life just by going to butcherbox.com, checking the banner, and entering the code Adam. This is a game changer, people. You'll not go back. It's high end. You know what Vinny Tortorich has to say about this. Free shipping anywhere in the U.S., except for Alaska and Hawaii. No commitment. Cancel easily. It is unbelievable. It's the best thing that's happened to me. It is butcherbox.com. Click the banner. Enter the code, Adam. Get the savings. All right. What do we think? Is this connected? Max Pata, you go first.
I said they were connected.
Okay. Dawson?
They're not connected because, first of all, the Subaru can comfortably carry 5 to 6 people. The Audi SUV can comfortably carry 5 to 6 people. These people have vanity plates. They're obviously people of means. If they needed to get 12 people to the airport, they would have been driving an SUV.
Mm-hmm.
Wait. But they are driving,
driving a van.
A big one. A freaking Suburban or
like
something.
One where everyone
that
died.
That would need to carry.
All right. Why I like the logic included.
And I'm going to stick with my answer, but when we were in the car initially, you asked if they know each other. Is it if they know each other now, or are they related?
I know each other. Yeah, I want to know if there's a connection between these two, or this is completely random. Gina Grand?
I would love for the hawk in me to mean hockey in me, because I'm so into hockey, but I don't think they're related. I think that if that was a hot, I think he might be some sort of a falconer. And I think that if they were related, they would both have the plates that go around, whatever that's called,
the frame.
Thank
the
frame. You. The right. license frame would well, both be hockey references, not just one hockey reference on the one that says Hockey Kings.
Can we possibly see what is on that frame to the right? Because that is a license plate frame. It's, it's not just a sitting license plate. That said, if it was just two SUVs, like you said, parked near each other, the only two at the airport, there'd be a 1.1% chance they know each other. But both with personalized license plates, both possibly related. I'm not ruling out that the second one says some sort of version of hockey. Number two, they both have the same. So California has a few different style license plates. Mm. And the black with the yellow writing is far and away less popular or less common than the other, you know, the generic, you know, white one with the blue writing.
It's newest and most pricey.
Yeah. So
this was discussed.
There's a 28.8% chance that they know. They somehow. I was hoping. I said to Chris, I'm like, zoom in on the windshields, because if they work together, for example, with the Kings or something, yep, they're going to have the same parking passes, or you know, or they live in the same building. But he says no dice. But I'm giving it a 28.8 chance, higher than nothing.
The discussion in the car, which is not only the California vanity plates, but the throwback plates, which is the black with the yellow writing from the 50s or before. And certain point, they went the old school stuff. They went from black and yellow. Then at a certain point, they turned to blue and yellow, basically Rams colors, really spot on Rams colors. And then they went to white and like a darker blue or a different blue or whatever it is. And now you're able to get the old ones, which is good. And they didn't offer it for a long time. And I always felt bad for the guys who had the cool vintage cars, like the cool hot rods from the 50s and the 40s. They wanted that look. It was a big part of the look. And they had this weird modern reflective plate that didn't look anything like where the era of the car was from. So I'm glad they have it. But I said in the car that I bet you the lion's share of people who get a vanity plate in California now, or newer vanity plates, do get the California old school style. As long as you're there, and as long as you've made the effort to get a vanity plate,
get the cool one.
You're probably going to get the cool one. I don't know if the cool one is more or not. If it's California, I'm guessing it is. But and what does a vanity plate cost these days?
It's like $40.
I think it's more. I think it used to be about that, but I think it's gone up. And then I think we can agree that as neighbors, we would like to have a vanity plate family, but not as lovers.
Okay.
Hold on. Picturing Matt's dad. No. Hold on. Let me picture the dearly departed Mrs. Garrigus.
Boom. 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 Boom.
Easy back there.
So, yeah, I do. I am jealous of the families, and I've now realized it's a family. You're in or you're out. Yeah. It's a Disney thing. It's not. It's like everyone goes to Disneyland or no one goes to Disneyland. It's like, oh, I got one kid who goes to Disneyland. Yeah. And like it's in or it's out.
And growing up in the Midwest, that's way too flashy. You think way too highly of yourself, and people would talk. Like, who do they think they are? Oh yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. All right. Whenever you figure out. Whenever Garrigus gets you his whole family plate, it's an interesting trail.
Someone listening to the show has to work for the DMV. Just look up these two license plates. You have the same address.
Oh, we got Garrigus's guy working.
Got a whole staff.
Believe
on
me, he's got guys. He's got guys for this stuff.
He's at our house now.
He's running plates.
Do you know this person?
We're trying to figure it out. Well, I'm curious.
Well, I think everyone here is a no, correct?
It's
you're still a no.
Brian was a yes.
It's a 75% chance they don't. But there is a world where these two people are definitely on the same, you know, flight or friends or whatever.
Dawson says no.
No, they would all jump in the same damn car.
I don't know.
Why would there be two cars valeting to an airport?
I don't know. I feel like that would be something
you
do frequently.
If they're coworkers or something, Dawson, or friends, they're going different places.
Or going to the same place. I still feel like it's cheaper, especially if you're just going for one night or whatever, they to might just not valet be husband and wife.
Yeah, they might be, you know, coworkers or something. One's going to Pasadena, one's going to...
You want to charter a car, it's at least $150, right? I mean, a limo or a big-time Suburban or something, right?
You can get a Uber Black for pretty cheap if you're bringing one big family.
But Uber
they might not be a family.
They're not going to take 10 people. This is why I went to Austin away.
True. No, they might not be a family, but you're basing your entire argument on hockey sounding like Hawk and Me. I don't think those two are related in the slightest. It's just a coincidence.
It's just a coincidence, so says Dawson. Dawson, yeah, I'm putting together a theory.
I guarantee people listening to this know these people.
Your voice sounds like you're right 100% of the time, but your brain is in the single digits. So, but
tell me where my logic's wrong.
You're
the one basing an argument on
I do
hockey
not,
kings.
Your logic,
sounding like
your logic is if two families were going to the airport. Like I'll give you for instance, I have a family, and I have my friends' kids, and they're four and four. Two parents, two kids. Right. They got a place in Portland, and blah blah blah. We go to their cabin or whatever it is. If we're on the same flight, I don't think we would charter a car. I think we would just drive and valet, and I think they would drive and valet.
Mm-hmm. Okay, no, I understand that.
And now, if there are family members, that might change things. But if I knew them or were getting on the same flight, going to the same place, I feel like we'd just take two separate vehicles. But
and
all right.
With that said, I still think there's 0% chance they know each other.
Well, I don't think you can say with supreme confidence it's zero.
I didn't say it with supreme confidence. I said I think there is 0% chance they know each other.
Well, I'd say using the number zero is the supreme part I'm talking about. See, if you say low.
Okay, I can supremely say that I think there's a 0.5% chance they know each other. Any better?
This is
no,
why,
I'm now, based on your logic.
This is why I wanted Dawson to weigh
I'm
in
arguing
with this methodology.
Supremely that it's 0.5%.
Okay, so statistically, almost impossible that these two know each other, according to Dawson.
I that's what I think.
I think Dawson thinks he's right.
I think Dawson 100%. Thinks he's right, too. I'm torn, and I think of it more as a coincidence, but I could never go 0%. I could get down into the low 20s or something like that.
I think, can we at least agree that there's a 100% chance you'll let this go before it's figured out?
I'm not letting it go.
There,
I got Garagus' team on this thing already. We're going
to
get some answers.
Nothing else to do.
Colin Kaepernick on line four. Saw that rush to hold.
Look, somebody told me many years ago, paraphrase, but you know, there's, you know, once in a while, like people go like, he's fit to be tied, or you know, I can't win for losing, or even consarn it. And you go, I don't know what that means. But when somebody said, as I've traveled through my life, when somebody said, you want to get something done, give it to a busy man. That is fucking spot on. The people I know who have nothing to do all day never get around to jack squat. Like the people I know that have fucking nothing but time can't get anything done. And a lot of this is my own family, but a lot of guys I grew up with, like the simplest of tasks, like, hey, could you just bring in this yearbook or something like that? Like, no. Yep. Days and weeks and months. Garagus, busiest guy on the fucking planet. And I will go to that guy and I'll go, hey, I need some legal advice. He's like on weekends, holidays, texting you back, getting on a plane, research it. I'll get back to you. Like, bam, bam, bam. He's the busiest man on the planet, and he's also always ready to go.
Yeah. Just wants it off his plate. Done.
Or something.
Yeah.
All right. We have betonline.ag. Tell you that. In a second, so we're going to talk to someone talk to Dave. I got my feelings hurt the other day.
Oh no.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Somebody tweeted me let's see, 21 celebrities you didn't realize were car nuts by Adam Schubach or Schuck. Well, how do you pronounce that? Anyway, Schubach, we'll just say. Published earlier this month, and Car and Driver, 21 celebrities you didn't realize were car nuts. And I thought, oh, well, let's see how many down we get to my name.
Number one with a bullet.
Can I say this? All car guys, you do a, or people who write about car guys or chronicle car guys, you do an insane disservice to real car guys when you put up guys like David Beckham, who owns a Rolls-Royce Ghost and a Bentley Bentayga or whatever. Wait, these are rich guys. Mm-hmm. They're not car guys. Under your definition, everybody with money is a car guy. Because you're a fucking multimillionaire and you live in Bel Air and you drive a Bentley. That doesn't mean you know anything about that car. It doesn't mean you can fix that car. It means you have no expertise. You're just a multimillionaire driving a $350,000 car. You're one of the Kardashians. Are not car people, but they drive expensive cars. I don't like it. And you putting 24-inch rims on it makes you less of a car guy in my world. But first up, it's David Beckham. He's got a Rolls Royce.
Oh, that car nut?
Yeah. Ugh. Hold on. Janet Jackson has two Lamborghinis and a Bentley and an Aston Martin. These are just dumb people who buy super expensive cars that are literally worth half as much 4 years later. That's how it goes. You buy a new Lamborghini, you spend 200 grand, you keep it for 5 years, you get divorced, you get $81,000 for it. That's how all these guys roll. It's in a way, sort of the opposite of car guys. The Aston Martin, the Bentley, the two Lamborghinis, combined total, $1 million. After the divorce, 5 or 6 years, you get $380,000 back from that lump that you push out.
Bad investment.
All right. John Cena and his 2070 Ford GT that he sold and was sued for selling.
That's right.
Jesus goddamn Christ. Justin Bieber, he's got a Cadillac CTS-V that he had themed like Batman.
Car nut.
Kanye West, Lady Gaga, Miley Cyrus, Misha Barton.
When we eventually get to you, it's going to be uncomfortable.
Well, how about the guy who fucking races the cars?
What does he know about cars?
Fucking trails them, takes them to the track and actually enters them. And Missy Elliott, Misha Barton, Nick Cage, who's nuts. Paris Hilton, she has a Barbie pink Bentley. Is that a car guy? Now, and by the way, does this information need to be brought to my attention? Oh, I guess I was all wrong about Paris Hilton. Angeline. She's a car girl. She has a Corvette. She's
totally,
pink.
By these standards.
Yeah, I was gonna say
and that. A vanity plate.
Oh, man. Paris Hilton. She's got a Barbie pink Bentley. She's got a Rolls Royce. Cadillac Escalade.
Mm-hmm. Obviously.
Now there's Patrick Dempsey.
Do any of these people fit your definition? Not Patrick Dempsey, I was going to say.
Yes, there's your Patrick Dempsey. No, he races, and there's Ralph Lauren. He's got a collection, and there's guys on there that are, you know, Beyonce's got a Mercedes Benz limousine. Like I don't know.
Does she drive that?
First off, can I say this? We're fucking up every list by going, there must be an equal amount of men and women on every list. The word car guy, you know, it's got the word guy in it. It stands to reason that there might be some more guys that are into it.
It'll lean that way.
Inherently, this is sort of how we roll, pardon the pun. Every single list, as I go through it, must, A, be split gender-wise. So you can have your Eric Bannis, that's fine, but you better make some room for Janet Jackson. And you can have Jay Leno, but you got to make room for Miley Cyrus. Like Misha Barton and Missy Elliott, like we have to have 50-50. And there's a sort of black and white 50-50 thing too. Like we need
representation.
We need representation. Oh, yeah, we need cultural representation. Car guys are basically, first off, they're overwhelmingly heterosexual white males. That's just kind of who car guys are. Don't know how it got that way, but that's how it is. So if you're going to make a list, you like the list to be factual instead of representing every fucking group, like every fucking list that comes out now just has to be some sort of even-handed, I'm going to represent everybody, then you're going to get a list that isn't really that accurate, and you're going to leave out hating honkies like the Ace Man.
I'm going to make it feel better. You said to get your feelings hurt. I'm going to make it feel better. This is a list of celebrities we didn't know were car guys. Everyone knows you're a car guy.
That was
it's
my first
well
instinct.
Known.
Yeah.
Come on.
Who doesn't know you're
to
a
be,
car guy?
Feels pretty I love where your head's him. At. I love where that bald head's at. But
right up your ass.
The in parentheses, it's 21 celebrities you didn't realize were car nuts, parentheses, and a few you did. So. And this guy's got my namesake, Adam.
I was going to say.
All right.
He's actually, yeah, going out of his way to not.
Sad. All right. Put myself in a better mood.
Another Corolla.
Is Dave Mason on the blower?
Yep, he's right here.
Dave, you with me?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
What island are you on?
What's that?
What island are you on right now?
Island. I'm on no island. I'm in Central America. We have a land base on the north and to the south. I go back and forth, Costa Rica, Panama.
What's going on with that march? Coming through your town? Those migrants marching?
The caravan.
I think that's Mexico. I don't know. That's a little north of us. So.
Listen, once you get past San Diego, it's all Mexico to this podcaster. Were you watching all the football games yesterday?
Sunday. Yeah, unfortunately, we got smoked. We got destroyed in NFL this weekend. College was great, but NFL was just brutal. So, yeah, I was watching. I was cursing the whole Sunday.
You know what struck me? I was watching my Rams with some interest. I say my Rams now because they're winning. I used to say the Rams, yeah. But now I say my Rams. There were two. It's like fourth quarter, I think Rams like trying to march back, trying to get back in the game. Aaron Rodgers, always dangerous playing the always dangerous Aaron Rodgers. There are two plays back to back where the quarterback made a great play, hustled out of the pocket, threw it on a run. Receiver just slid his hand under the ball, made a great catch. The sideline official, the ref, like wiped it off. Like, not a catch. They reviewed it. It was a catch. It was like for 30 yards. The next catch was Todd Gurley making an amazing play. Like the DB, the DB did what used to be face guarding. They used to have a rule called that. Ball hit his hand. It caromed off. He grabbed, plucked it out of the air.
Juggled it.
Tucked his foot in. The same ref was like, nope. And I thought, what if we didn't have replay? Like it would be the same guy taking two great individual efforts and just wiping them right off, and the Rams would be right back on their 20 and probably punting, right? Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I love replay, by the way.
Oh, yeah, satisfying.
Yeah, you got to have it now. I mean, this it's not perfect, but it's better than the alternative.
There were two just amazing plays back-to-back. And also, whoever that ref was, let's take him out to the woodshed and give him a little caning. You know what I mean? Like, hey, buddy, you were Johnny on the spot. Two back-to-back plays. You called them both wrong.
I think Dave might know this, but for the first time in the Super Bowl era, basically 1962 or whatever it was, they fired a referee mid-season. Which never happened. And it happened
Like
2 weeks ago. I don't know if you knew about that, but yeah. And I don't know if they explicitly said why. I guess he was just not a good ref, but like it's really, really rare, obviously. And it happened like 2 weeks ago.
All right.
Anyway.
Good.
All right. Thanks for that.
Sounds like a tidbit.
Thanks for that tidbit. Who do you like this week? Now, last time we talked to you, you said if the Bills beat the Vikings, you'd eat your own flip-flop.
Yeah, that didn't go well.
I can get my dog to eat it for you if you like.
Yeah,
we have an assortment of hot sauces.
I put in a Vitamix and liquefied it, but it didn't look very good, so I kind of copped out on that one. But this weekend.
Looking forward to my Rams playing KC in a couple weeks, and I think Mexico City or something like that. Who's going to be fair? Well, they'll be in Mexico City.
Rams by 2.5. Well, what do you say, Dave?
Right. Well, we actually had that up a couple weeks ago, and we had the Rams -3, so 3-point favorites versus KC. But that was a few weeks ago, so that might go down a little bit. I mean, the Rams are in their pick'em this weekend at Saints, so that's a hell of a game on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, the Saints are great, and boy, the more I realize, the more I sit around and watch life with sort of Drew Brees, but I felt the same way about Doug Flutie and all this kind of stuff. Forget about the guy's stature. Forget about his size. Like, is he a winner? Mm-hmm. And Drew Brees is just a competitor. He's just a crazy competitor. And I feel like that's always good for – that's good for like 8 to 13 points every single game. Every time Drew Brees shows up, it's like it's just good for 10 mm-hmm. points because of his crazy competitive nature.
Absolutely. I mean, top five quarterbacks all time. I mean, hell, he's definitely worth, you know, 6 points in that offense at least. Absolutely.
Is the Rams look, you know, pretty mortal for the first half and then just started getting it together. I love the team sport. I love the fact that with essentially the same personnel, they went from losers to winners with just this McVay, with mm-hmm. just the coach. And I remember Rich Eisen saying to this beleaguered Rams fan a couple of years ago, he's like, oh, this Sean McVay, this guy is sharp, and he's going to turn that team around. And I can't remember going, really, really? But Jesus Christ, I think he's like, I'll screw the number up, but I don't know, 19-6 or something? Or whatever.
He's undefeated this year, so yeah.
Whatever it was, yeah. Like a pretty amazing for a team that was, you know, 4-12 or mm-hmm. whatever it was the year before.
Yeah. And garbage 2 years ago, and they turn around, and I mean, now we're in the conversation, will they go undefeated? I mean, we have a prop up there. There's plus 700 to go 16-0 this year. So you're right. I mean, 2 years ago, no one even thought about this. And 2 years later, we're talking about an undefeated season. Potentially.
So is that $100 and you get $700 if they go undefeated?
Plus your $100 wager back, so right. $700 profit, yeah.
That feels interesting
yeah.
to me. We're halfway in, you know. Also, kind of makes me realize that instead of all the jockeying for the quarterback out of college or the wideout out of college or the shutdown corner, maybe there should be a lot more jockeying for coaches.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because...
Yeah.
I don't know how long McVay's contract is, but when it's up,
well,
there should be the Brinks truck backed up.
You look at the Cleveland Browns, who today fired their head coach, and like they have talent. The people joke about the Cleveland Browns; they have talent on that team, but they was poorly coached.
Dave,
absolutely, absolutely. I mean, they just fired him today, and he was plus 400 to be the first coach fired, and we actually have odds up for the next head coach hired, Lincoln Riley, Baker Mayfield's coach in Oklahoma. He's a plus 200 favorite, along with Zach Taylor. They're both plus 200 to get the next gig, the full-time gig. Zach Taylor, speaking of the Rams, QB coach. Bill Belichick's in there, Jim Harbaugh, some big names. But Lincoln Riley and Zach Taylor are the two favorites.
Who's the highest paid coach? Is Belichick the highest paid coach? You'd think he is, but it doesn't Gruden? Always work this way.
Gruden?
I don't know. Sometimes like whoever got the newest contract.
I would think it would be Gruden with that. I mean, what he's 10-year, $100 million contract. I can't see anybody being over that. I could be wrong, but I would say Gruden. I bet my money on Gruden.
Well, I like this new trend where older, rich, white guys make even more money. And the young, uneducated man from right. kid, black kid from the streets, we devalue them.
That's good.
I like yeah. that. You got a pick for this this week?
What do you want? How are you doing in your contest?
Oh, my God. I don't know. I got to ask Max Zapata. How are we doing? Let's see. Five picks for the week, 4-1 lock. Well, why don't you give us 4 picks in your 1 lock?
All right. Let's go to the lock. I mean, you got to look at the spreads here. So
We pick straight up, by the way, Dave. Pick straight
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, I'm straight up, but as far as if you're picking straight up, you got to still incorporate sure. the spreads there. You want to pick the games of the biggest spreads. Right now, the Chiefs at the Browns has the biggest spread. Yeah, right? Chiefs -8 at the Browns, and everybody's betting the Chiefs. So that's got to be your lock. But like I said, last time we did this lock thing, it didn't go so well with the Vikings. So, but Chiefs got to be your lock. Panthers versus Bucks. That's the spread's not up right now, but that's going to be right around 6.5. Cowboys versus Tennessee, spread 6.5. So that's got to be in there. Vikings minus 5 versus the Lions, so that's a pick you got to put. And the Patriots should be your fifth, even though they're hosting the Packers. That spread's still going to be around 6. So, yeah, straight up, you got to pick those 5 games with the Chiefs as your lock.
What's the spread on the Chiefs right now?
They're minus 8, 3-point favorites at Cleveland.
That's one of those things where it's like you go, oh, 8 points. That's more than a touchdown. When the final score is 42-14, mm-hmm. you go, not a bad bet. How did you think this was going to go? Thanks, Dave. We appreciate it.
All right, folks. Thank you so much. Have a great week.
You too. Dave Mason at betonline.ag, Sportsnet Challenge. So much fun if you want to get involved. You can get involved as well. Go to betonline.ag, pick 'em, where you could win $25K. Use the code podcast1, receive 50% off your welcome bonus. I'm going to need your help making picks. So you weigh in, and I'll give you 5, and 5 of you are going to get $100 for your picks. And you can get it. You get $100 worth of credit on betonline.ag. What do you got, Brian?
You do need help making picks because every week we get the email, oh, don't forget to submit your picks. Don't forget to submit your picks. Sunday slate only. And yet you insisted on picking a Monday game. You picked the Patriots as one of your wins. So
maybe
you,
Dylan
you should
helped
not
me
get
make
credit
that
for that.
Pick.
You should not get credit for that. You had a good week otherwise. You went 3-1. You lost on the Lions, but won on the Steelers, Bears, and Chiefs. You and I both picked the Chiefs and Bears. I don't get a lot of chances to brag on this, but I went 5 for 5 this week. Including my best bet, which was a bit of a bold call because I picked the Colts over the Raiders in Oakland. Now I'm playing from behind, so I gotta be a little contrarian here. I can't pick the same games everyone else picks. So I went with the Colts 5 for 5. Hopefully, going to get back in it this week. Check it out. BetOnline.ag is where you can make your picks.
You guys, we've talked about this before. When things are put in the form of an email that says like make your picks, but not including Monday night game or Thursday night game. The batting average of people ignoring that email and moving past it, is it a general concentration thing, too many devices?
Or is the whole thing overwhelming so you just tune it out? Like, is it an anxiety thing?
Oh, I would hope that's not the case.
I think it's. I think there's something to do with earbuds and screens and just a general information.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't. I was trying to talk to Max Zapata today. I made this mistake. I did this move. I don't know if you guys have done this move, but I was coming here to work. And the, should we hear, give me the coach's names, would you please?
Oh, Hugh Max Jackson.
Hugh Jackson. Always just Dawson on the screen. I got too many names to run around.
Hugh Jackson.
Hugh Jackson.
Yep.
Hugh Jackson. This is the
greatest
former
showman.
This is the former coach for the Browns. It's a 32-second clip. This is Hard Knocks, and he's basically explaining to his people, you want to sit where I'm sitting, you got to do things the right way or whatever. But at the time, I think he was like 1-31.
Yeah, this is preseason. I'm pretty sure someone was like suggesting a different way to do things, and he kind of was explaining, hey, man, heavy is the head that wears the crown.
At 1-31. All right, sorry, go ahead.
Guys, listen, I'm excited about what you're doing. I'm going to say it again, but the chair I sit in, a little different than the chair you guys sit in. I get to watch from a different lens, okay? And I think you guys can all respect that. At the end of the day, I get to drive this bus, and I'm going to get it the way I want it. That's period. That's just how it works, okay? Al taught me a long time ago. You know, what is it, Al? Give it to me.
Al Jardine.
Whatever the hell you want. It's your team. You do whatever the hell you
Al
want.
Al Saunders.
Okay,
all
so
right.
This one's mine.
Pause
so
it for a second. If this guy was driving a bus and your kids were on it, and of 32 attempts to get to the school, he'd only arrived one time. The other 31 times, he went off of
the sweet hereafter.
Went off a mountain road.
That's right.
Would you sit and hear lectures from that guy about driving a school bus?
Everyone's updating their resume around the table.
He was 1-31 when he gave this speech.
That's so good. How tuned out and checked out do you have to be to give that speech?
Well, he's checked out now. That's for damn sure. All right. Was I just going to complain about something, but I forgot.
He was USC's offensive coordinator during their worst season ever, 2000.
Quite a legacy.
Yeah, I know. Fond place in my heart for Hugh Jackson.
So I was driving here this morning. The ramp from one freeway to the next freeway is like unusually and alarmingly backed up, like way up. So I immediately just went like, I'm not getting into this. Something happened. There was an accident, whatever. So I just turned off the other ramp and now found myself heading the other direction. And I scrambled to hit my phone and hit Waze and work. And then Max Pata called me and we're going over the show. And then the Waze was talking the whole time, the whole time. And I know I've screamed about this before. There is no microphone with a slash. And it's like nothing you can push. There's nothing. It's all three pushing.
Stay to the left to exit to I-710 North.
And I'm like, is Damashek coming in? And he's like, blah, 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 blah. And I can't hear you.
Of a mile.
And I'm going the other direction, and I'm getting off the freeway, and it won't stop. And I can't fucking figure out the way. It's like, this must come up a lot. It must come up a lot. Why don't they just have a silence or
a little
mute
speaker with a slash through it and just push that?
Well, there is a unseeable by the human eye speaker. It's somewhere
right
on this thing.
Street, then turn left.
At a certain
Valley
point,
Drive.
I start screaming at Max Pata, what do I do? And I get myself to the part where it just says stop, and I hit stop, and then it says stop.
Navigation,
and I hit that. So now I've hit stop, and I've hit stop navigation, and it won't stop. It will not fucking stop.
That was by far the most difficult conversation I've ever had with you,
Los Angeles.
What is going on? Why? What is this?
Like in the middle.
Why
of me,
is it? Why would it? All right, sorry. Go ahead.
In the middle of me, like explaining that, writing down the show with Adam here, you know, exchanging ideas. I just hear Adam going, "Stop." Stop! Stop! And I'm thinking, is he telling me to stop? And then, you know, he's clicking stop, and he's yelling at Waze, and then he can't hear me half the time.
Well, one thing just says stop, and you hit that, and that brings you to stop navigation, and then you hit that, but that's not enough. It just continues on. And then to exacerbate everything, and this, no one else experiences this but me. I don't know how to do it, but anyone from Waze, could you just put
in
a fucking
1.4 miles,
big
turn left
fucking
on
microphone
Kingsdale
on there?
Avenue.
Just put a mic on there that you could just mute. Just mute it.
That'd be nice.
A one click, because right now it's three clicks to get to the speaker off.
Well, what's the point of the stop button?
What I don't know. No one can explain that. Yeah. That could just be me with the hacks. But here's what you should have. When an incoming call comes in, have the mic pop up through the blue whatever, and then you hit the mic, and then the screen goes to the visual cues.
The mute mic.
And then put the mic in the lower right-hand corner, and when you're done with the call, hit the mic again and go back to whatever.
It's
why is
the
it,
most common issue.
Why three clicks away? Three.
Yeah, and if you click the wrong thing, it opens up a whole new page, and you got to swipe the other
way. While you're driving.
Then I really start screaming.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll do some good sports. We'll come back with your calls right after this.
And now, a quote, real Mangria testimonial.
Hi, I'm Mitch. All my life, I've been a little guy, and by little guy, I mean it. I'm legally a dwarf. That was until I had my first taste of Adam Carolla's Mangria. Once I cracked open that beautiful bottle of original orange, I knew my life would change. I used to stand at 4'4", but after I got down to the bottom of my first bottle, I shot straight up to 6'2". Now my mother loves me, and I no longer need a stepping stool to brush my teeth. Thanks, Mangria, and thank you, Adam.
Head to CorollaDrinks.com and enter promo code LITTLEGUY for 20% off orders of three or more bottles.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it!
Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One Sports. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. Ace, day two. I mean, it's Tuesday, but really it's day two of what figures to be a series of you and me listening to the greatest theme songs associated with sports programming out there. Shall we press on? Yesterday we did Monday Night Football.
Mm-hmm.
Right out of the gate, a hard one to beat. The classic.
Very difficult.
The all-time classic, I dare say.
Yes.
Also some good Cosell talk. You know what's funny about Monday Night Football now that I think about it? Isn't it weird that it is kind of the gold standard to many? But they had, in their golden years, they didn't really have a proper play-by-play man in the booth. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, they had Cosell, personality, Dandy Don, Meredith, not, you know, former player. kind of a Dandy Don was to Monday Night Football what Jerry Reed was.
It's a perfect analogy.
Smoking the Bandit.
It's a perfect analogy.
He's not really an actor. He's kind of a singer. I may or may not drive a truck. He likes dogs. Like he was half the movie, but didn't seem to have the credentials to be there. But help.
It's like he was on. He played with Tom Landry. He knows what he's talking about.
Right.
I don't know about that. Doesn't sound like he did.
Also, those guys would do a fair amount of drinking up there.
Yeah.
There's lots of great stories. The booth. Well, first off, it was back where it was a simpler time, which is if you said to someone, I'm cold, they'd go, oh, here, have some vermouth. But I'm driving a school bus. It doesn't matter. They'll take the chill
give
out of
the
you.
Give you're them the whole bottle. Oh, so you're going to be on the road for like 90 minutes. Just take the whole bottle.
Like, all you had to do is announce you were cold or something on you hurt, and someone just hand you a flask. It's cold, and my bunions are acting up. Okay, here's some Jack Daniels. But I'm working with special needs kids. Yeah. Here you go.
There's enough for them.
So you'd be up in the booth. For some reason, the booth was called a booth, but it never really was an official booth because it would always be the same temperature at Green Bay in the booth as it was in the stadium, which was freezing.
Yeah, now they're in climate control, not back then. They were all bundled up like the rest of us were.
Right, and then I think Cosell would try to, you know, take a little of the edge off that the winter. Father Winter, Mother Winter, Old Man Winter.
Old Man Winter.
And to take a few nips. And by the time you got to the fourth quarter, it started to take its toll.
but for our pleasure. But we benefit. I don't understand this. This is one of my ongoing complaints. Now in the 21st century sports media, shame the devil. Yes, the greatest broadcasters of all time, some who would be held up at least as being that. Harry Carey, the Cubs, obviously legendary announcer. Provincial Dave will point out Myron Cope. Yoy and double yoy. The Pittsburgh Steelers are poised to strike. Yeah. All that stuff.
Summerall was like a famous lush.
That's right. He and Brooke Shire went on Famous Twisters together, and they went in the booth. Now, though, I my first time at the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 45, Steelers and Packers. I may have mentioned I root for the Steelers, so it was an exciting evening for me to be attending that Super Bowl as an NFL employee. And I was in the press box, and early in the game, I expressed joy or sorrow. Well, I probably was sorrow since Aaron Rodgers was good in that first half. I said, and people were like, hey, whoa, got to keep it down in the press box. God, I can't express emotion.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
And then I was told, I said, why don't they have booze up here anymore? And people have told me, oh, they used to have keg. They used to have a keg of beer in the press box. Now shame the devil that you would ever have a nip. What gives? What are we doing? We're not doing ocular surgery. We're talking about sports.
I concur.
It's an outrage. But anyway, yeah, Frank Gifford was as close to the play-by-play guy as you could get, but he wasn't really that. That was a great booth. Anywho, let's move on to our next song. Since we've already heard The Heights, let's go to what Carolla has mentioned as the bottom of things here, Gary. Play us one of these country-style theme songs.
Everybody's ready for the party. Anywhere coast to coast.
The party.
Come on, we're just getting started.
Non-alcoholic.
Waiting all day, let's go. The gang's all here for a throwdown. A rowdy crowd rocking the place. The fair's in a pack in a showdown. Fired up and ready to play.
What is this? It's like Shania Twain and Mutt Lang have reunited. Come on, boys, we're going out.
The gang's all here. Party, presented by O'Doul.
Hey, can we write a song where dude talks about getting ready and how hot he looks in his jeans? Turn it down. This is taking two genres. This is country. I was never a big fan of country, but it had its place.
Yeah, you Cash, know? Nelson, and the rest. Yeah.
But it then became weaponized when you started making sassy modern country. You know what happened with country?
Tell.
Here, mark the day. I will. You can mark on your calendars where country took a turn. I'm not going to say went south because it was already there, but I'm saying it took a bad turn.
Went north, turned north.
When we started caring about what country singers looked like, it formerly, it was fat guys with grizzled beards and spittle flowing out of their mouth, and it was a mess. Then the chicks were at big beehive hairdos and weird outfits with rhinestones on them and stuff. Then all of a sudden, it's like, Kenny Chesney, hey, that guy's working out. You know, I mean, like, nobody, Merle Haggard never worked out. Merle Haggard, like, kind of sobered up, and they pushed him out on stage, and he looked like he'd been ridden hard and put away wet, right? Then all of a sudden, it started with the Kenny Chesneys and the Shania Twains.
I was just going to say, sudden, I bet you it was Twain.
All of a sudden, the next thing you know, the guy's pants are getting really tight, and their arms are getting a little bit bigger, and all of a sudden, now we care what these guys look like, it's completely ruined the music.
I agree. I think it is. I think you can, if you point the finger at one person, it's Shania Twain, who kind of emerged as a sex symbol, and then the country music world paid attention. Oh, if I work out, I'll be a pop hit rather than a pop star, rather than just merely a country star in Nashville.
Right. Yes.
Either way, listen, nice effort there, Carrie Underwood, but it's not for me.
Oh, that's Carrie Underwood?
Yeah, it just ain't for me.
Yeah, pop. So country met a mirror, and that didn't help country music. And then we tried to, like, liven it up. And that's basically, like, when my poor dead grandpa would make a frozen dinner for me. And then he'd, like, sprinkle on some grated cheese on top of it to try to, like, turn it into something it wasn't. Yeah. It just made it a sadder experience for this young podcaster.
It's, it's like, you know what's funny when you say that the evolution of country music is kind of on display, at least to some degree, with what the original Monday Night Football theme was. Not the original, but the country song, like, what's his name? I can't think of his name. Junior.
Hank Williams Jr.
Yeah. That was like, that's kind of old school country, and then Carrie Underwood is what you're describing. As
find me a picture of Roy Clark at his fattest.
Roy Clark.
With his biggest pork chops and his swinging his banjo.
Every
and I'll
Sunday
show
night.
You. I'll show
that
you.
That was Sunday night.
That's what country music used. That was the face and jowls and chins of country music back
banjo,
then.
Banjo standing up in the cornfields, cracking wise.
I'll bet you Roy Clark, who when I was growing up, he was one of the hosts of Hee Haw. Mm-hmm. I had him, like I was growing up, like, that's the fattest man in America. I bet through today's lens of morbid obesity everywhere, he doesn't even rank in anyone's
top 50.
He'll
look like about 5 pounds overweight.
He's going to just look like a husky dude. Like, I had him as a blimp. He's a handful.
Maybe take it back, Ace, now that we see.
He's a big boy.
When you're wrong, you say you're wrong. In the
have him standing and playing the banjo. Anyway, that was the face of country music, and now it's Kenny Chesney.
Yeah.
Please. Oh, we can also blame Dwight Yoakam with his tight jeans and his hat leaned forward. Although I like Dwight on a personal level. Let me tell you about the betonline.ag. Having so much fun with betonline.ag. October keeps getting better. World Series, NFL, college football, NBA, NHL. Truly the greatest time of the year. Mm-hmm. Drama with the Lakers, Toronto, and Denver off to a hot start. Yep. Although Lakers, they're right in the ship. Alabama, and of course the Rams dominating now. Mm-hmm. As I like to say, my Rams, before I used to say the Rams. Nashville starting strong in hockey. There's only one place to get in on all the action. BetOnline.ag. Don't wait. Use the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. That's PODCAST1. Get a 50% sign-up bonus. BetOnline.ag. Promo code PODCAST1. Your online sportsbook experts. podcast1. BetOnline.ag. There's Roy Clark.
Now, see, that one makes him look not as bad.
Yeah, he's up now.
Tweet that one out there, Gary, if you don't mind, so the people can, or Google him yourself. All right, we'll continue to roll through the best of music and sports on tomorrow's Good Sports. For now, Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Good Sports out. Good Sports.